chapter number 24, and we'll pick up with the lesson 77. Lesson 77. We did 76 last week. 76 was learning to endure seasons of adversity. And we talked about the comparison between God's people and eagles, and how that eagles have to go through a molting process to renew their feathers. And in the same way, God's people need to go through adversity to renew our strength. Okay? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. It's referring to that molting process that the eagle goes through when he sheds his old feathers and he grows new ones. It's not enjoyable. He's earthbound. He's ugly. He's weak at that point in time. And he's not used to being weak, friend. He is the strongest of all the bird kingdom. One of the most elegant of all. He is to the bird kingdom what the lion is to the beast kingdom. And yet he must go through the period of molting. So it is with a Christian. We must go through those seasons of adversity and to renew strength. The key is do not fail. Learn to endure the seasons of adversity. And they're cyclical. They will come, and they will come again, and they will come again, and they'll come again. I think we won't be through with them until we cross the border into glory someday. That's when we quit. All right? So learn to endure the seasons of adversity. Verse 15. Proverbs 24:15, lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. I'll read it one more time. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Now, this can a little bit tied into last week's on adversity. Lesson 77, living life wisely means I learn to get up when I've been knocked down. I learn to get up when I've been knocked down. That's living life wisely. Now, did you ever, with your children, or if you ever had a situation where you were with some people, did you ever, it sounded like you were getting on to somebody who had done wrong, but you were intending more for your words to encourage the one who had done right rather than rebuke the one who had done wrong. Okay? I've done that before. I can think of times like that in school chapel when I mentioned something that was done wrong, but my biggest goal was not to rebuke those that had done wrong as much as it was to encourage those who were doing right. Okay? And that's what the wise man is doing in these two verses. The teaching here is really not intended to warn the wicked man, although that's part of it. But the teaching is intended to encourage the righteous man who is threatened by the devices of the wicked man. So he talks to the wicked, says, hey, wicked man, don't you lay wait and connive, you know, dream up devices against the dwelling place of the righteous. Because tell you what, you can't keep a good man down. That's what he's saying. You might come up with devices. You might come up with schemes. You might come up with ways to bring adversity into the life of a righteous man. You might knock him down, but he's going to get back up. You cannot keep a good man down. What he's doing here is encouraging the good man to keep getting up. Keep getting up. Keep getting up. The just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. So basically what he's teaching is you can't, you know, the cream always rises to the top. I know when I was at the boys' home, one of my chores for a while was getting to milk the cow. We didn't have milkers, obviously. You don't have milkers for one animal, you know, for one cow. And that cow gave enough milk to keep the boys home and milk for a while. When she was really fresh. I mean, buddy, she was giving milk. I mean, several gallons in the morning and several gallons in the evening. And I remember, you know, I used to milk the cow as part of my responsibilities for a while, chores. And then we put that milk in a glass jar. And the most delicious kind of milk is that unpasteurized, unhomogenized, fresh milk from the cow. I mean, that is good stuff. And you put it in there in a glass jar, and when you go back the next day, next morning, the cream has risen to the top. We used to get a great big old spoon and stir it up again, and then drink that milk. Now, I don't know how good it is for you, but it sure is good to you. I'll guarantee you that. It tastes so rich, so creamy. And but that cream always rose to the top. You couldn't stop that process. Always rose to the top. Always rose to the top. That's what he's saying here. Wicked man, you can devise and scheme against the righteous man. You can knock him down, but you cannot knock him out. He's going to get up on his feet again, okay? And this is living life wisely, learning to get up when you've been knocked down. Learning to get up when you've been knocked down. Now, there are several reasons why a person may get knocked down. Several reasons why a person may get knocked down. You do have the wicked intentions of others. That's true. That happens sometimes, okay? There are several cases of that in the Bible. How about Joseph? He got knocked down because of Potiphar's wife's wicked intentions. You know, she grabbed his coat after trying to seduce him into a relationship. She grabbed his coat and said, lie with me. And he left his coat and took off with his character, said, I can't do this great sin against God. All right? And then he ends up in jail. She runs out screaming, basically, he assaulted me, he tried to rape me. And her husband buys her story because blood's thicker than water, even though he loved Joseph. And so Joseph ends up in the prison. Okay? He's knocked down, but he's not knocked out. All right, by the wicked intentions of others. How about Mordecai over there in the book of Esther? You know, Haman wants to have him murdered. Haman wants to kill him because Mordecai won't bow down to him. And so he devises this plot to have Mordecai and his people killed. How about Daniel in the book of Daniel? When they say you can't pray towards any god but King, it was Darius. Anybody but Darius, and you're going to go to the den of lions. And that whole thing was connived by wicked men to knock him down. And they knocked him down. He went down to the lion's den, okay? So you can get knocked down by the wicked intentions of others. Some of you men, there's been seasons here and situations in the church where men got knocked down at work by the wicked intentions of others. I mean, they didn't like your Christian testimony. They didn't like that you don't laugh at their dirty jokes, that you don't look at their dirty pictures, that you pray over your lunch. You are an irritation to them. And so wicked intentions of those men sometimes, have knocked guys down. So you can get knocked down by the wicked intentions of others. You can get knocked down by the loss of health and or wealth. You can get knocked down. I mean, Job did. He lost all his material possessions. He lost his children. He lost his own health. He lost the support of his wife. He's down. You don't believe he's down? Read his writings. I wish the day had come. I wish the day I was born had never come. I wish I'd never seen the light of day. Better my mother would have miscarried me than had me. I mean, he's down. I mean, he's way down, okay? So he's knocked down by the loss of health and the loss of wealth. I've seen that happen. I've seen people knocked down by sin and temptation. I've seen that happen. Seen people knocked down by sin and temptation. How about Jonah in the book of Jonah? He was knocked down by sin. God said, go to Tarshish and preach, or go to Nineveh and preach. He said, no, sir, not going to do that. And he went the other direction, tried to flee from the presence of the Lord. Did he go down? Well, let's see. He went down to the ship. He went down to the belly of the ship. He went down into the ocean. And he went down to the fish's belly. Down, 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 down. Jonah got knocked down. I mean, buddy, he was knocked down. And when you talk about temptation, how about King David? I mean, the man whose life we're studying right now, Wednesday night. He got knocked down by the temptation with Bathsheba. And then, of course, had her husband murdered. Is he down? You bet he's down. He's way down. You read his writings in the book of Psalms. Talks about being a broken spirit, not having any joy. He's down, okay? All these things. Discouragement. Discouragement can knock people down. I'm talking about things in real life. I'm talking about these things aren't just, relegated to the Bible time. These things happened in 2006 and 7. They happen now. People get knocked down by discouragement. When I think of people getting knocked down by discouragement in the Bible, I think of Peter. I'll mention him this morning at the end of the message in just a little bit. But you know, when he cursed and swore and denied Christ three times and then used profanity to emphasize that he didn't know Christ. I mean, he was discouraged. And then Jesus looked at him, and then Jesus died, and then Jesus rose again from the dead, and Peter's down. He's down. I know he's down. I'm going fishing. I'm going back to commercial fishing. I'm done following Christ. I can't do this. Okay? Down, 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 down. People get knocked down. And I probably haven't even, listed all the ways. People get knocked down. Everybody gets knocked down. The righteous man finds a way to get up after getting knocked down. The just man finds a way to get back on his feet. He's not content with getting knocked down. Now, you go through all those people whose lives I just mentioned. How about Joseph? Joseph got up. Joseph got up. Mordecai got up. Daniel got up. Now, they were because of the wicked intentions of others, and God overthrew all that. They got up, okay? Job got up. You know, the truth of the matter is, God dealt with Job's pride, and God dealt with Job's haughty spirit through all that difficulty. And when it's all said and done, Job's on his feet again. So much so that Peter in the New Testament talks about the patience of Job. Praises him. So Job gets up. How about David? Well, sure, he got up and he finished his reign as king. Jonah got up. He preached probably the greatest revival in the Old Testament. The whole city of Nineveh repents and turns to God. Okay? Because of his preaching. He got up. Now, Peter, did he get up? You bet he got up. He was one of the main speakers of the day of Pentecost. He had so much power in his life that they brought sick people to the streets so that if his shadow would pass over them, they could be healed. He became one of the pillars of the church. He wrote two epistles in the New Testament. He took the gospel to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. I think he got up. Okay? That's what the Bible is saying. That's what living life wisely is. Learning how to get up. When we fall, there is a reason and a cause for the fall, and there is a reason and a way to get back up. Go on with life. You know, I mean, sometimes when you get knocked down, you know, the main emphasis becomes, why did this happen? How did this happen? How come? I'm not sure that's what the main emphasis ought to be. The main emphasis ought to be, look, what can you do about it after you get knocked down? Whatever it was that knocked you down, you can't really do anything about it. It's done. But there is a reason to get back up. And there is a way. And that's what needs to become the main focus after we get knocked down. When we fall, there is a reason and cause for it. But there is also a reason and a way to get back on our feet. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hold your place there in Proverbs. And look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm going to confess a sin in just a minute, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I guess it's a sin. I don't know if it's a sin or not. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look at verse number 8. This is what Paul said to the church at Corinth. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I remember Jack Howells preaching a message when I was in Bible college. Knocked down, but not knocked out. Knocked down, but not knocked out. And he used that passage right there. Knocked down, but not knocked out. That's what Paul said. Paul said, I've been knocked down, but I've never been knocked out. And I can get back on my feet, and that's exactly what the wise man does. That's what living wisely does. There is a difference in being knocked down and knocked out. There's a difference in being on your back on the mat and not being pinned. I used to watch my brother wrestle. Now, I played basketball. Tom played baseball and basketball. Tim played football, and he wrestled. Tim was the more physical one of the bunch. I used to watch him wrestle. And man, those guys at those wrestling meets, they'd get down. You'd see them. They'd get one shoulder pinned, and you'd think it's over. You know, it's done. This guy's going to win. But man, I'm telling you, they fought and they fought and they fought to keep that one. And when they got tired of that, they rolled that. You know, you've seen them do that. And how many times those guys got back up? They found a way to escape. I think there's even a point for an escape, isn't there? An escape, you get a point, and they're back on their feet again. I don't ever get to see it. But I remember one time Tim Booth was here for football camp, or he was here preaching or something, and he brought with him the Ultimate Fighting Challenge, an Ultimate Fighting Challenge tape. Now, that pro wrestling doesn't impress me. The Wide World of Wrestling, whatever it's called, the Wrestling Federation or whatever, I can't buy that. You know, that doesn't impress me. But that Ultimate Fighting Challenge, that impresses me. That's probably not good to watch, but I'm telling you, have you ever watched it? Huh? You can admit it. Okay, I can find it. Do you know, I don't know if you, I'm not sure Steve Mays ever preached. Was Steve Mays here? Who is Steve Mays? Well, he was pastoring in South Carolina, and he does that. He does it before he got saved and after. Everything goes. Everything goes. I mean, there's no rules. I mean, it's elbows and teeth, and I don't know if you can bite. You can't bite, okay. So it's elbows and everything. I mean, it's just, I remember watching those things, man. But, you know, a guy would be getting whooped. I mean, whooped. He'd be getting whooped. And then all of a sudden, one thing, and he wins. One thing, and he wins. I mean, you think he's so close to losing this thing, and then he throws an elbow and splits the guy's eye wide open, you know, and they can't close it, and they call them, and it's over. And he, you know, it's the, and I guess that's part of why I like it. It's just that, man, you know, I love to see somebody fight, who's close to elimination, and then yet come back and win. Brother House used to tell a story. He was pastoring in Hammond. What's the name of that park up there, right there close to Hammond? What's the name? I forget the name. Yeah, I think it was that one right there between like Columbia Avenue, and there's a park right there somewhere. And there used to be people playing there all the time. And he said he was driving his car by there one day, and he saw these two boys fighting. And he said, man, this one guy was a little bit bigger, and he was just wailing on this young guy, the smaller guy. And I mean, he was just, you know, knocking him down. They were getting, pow, and he knocked him down four or five times. And Brother Howell stopped his car and just watched, you know. And, you know, a little bit of that doesn't hurt, ladies. I mean, okay? A little bit of that doesn't hurt. And so he just watched it. You know, he was wailing. This guy was wailing away. And all of a sudden, that little kid got up one last time. And I don't know what he did. But he came with a haymaker or something, and he just connected. You ever seen a guy connect with a haymaker? You know, there's no plan to it. It just happens. You know, whap! And man, I tell you, that guy just dropped. Dr. Howell said that young guy put his foot on his stomach and put his arm up in the air. That tickles me when I think about that. That tickles me. I like that. All right? And this is, you know, and by the way, if any of you are older brothers, remember the day when all of a sudden it dawned on you that the younger brother wasn't as young or he wasn't as weak as he used to be? Huh? I don't know if that ever happened to you or not, you know, but when they're little and they're younger, you can wait on them. But I remember the day when it became apparent to me that Tim was about as strong as I was. I saw that with Luke and Ben. Ben used to whip Luke, you know, but now he kind of avoids that all the time. So. Oh, that's what it is. It's getting back up. It's being so close to being pinned, but just not allowing yourself to be pinned. Get up off the mat. That's part of life, folks. It's learning to get up when you've been knocked down. It's easy to lay down. The easy thing is just stay there. It takes effort. It takes desire. It takes perseverance to get back up. Now, isn't it interesting, back in Proverbs 24, isn't it interesting that he says a just man falleth seven times and rises up again? What is the number of, what is the seven is the number of completion, right? The number of perfection, maturity, completion. If the just man falls seven times, yet rises up again, then obviously has to get up how many times? He has to get up seven. If he's knocked down once, he gets up once. If he's knocked down twice, so for the soul, right? He gets knocked down seven times, he gets up a seventh time. The teaching is that a just man, a righteous man, is going to get knocked down. The teaching here is not that you won't get knocked down. Everybody's going to get knocked down. By one of those ways or another, everybody's going to get knocked down. The righteous man completes it by getting up again. He completes it by getting up. Getting knocked down is just part of it. Getting back up completes that whole process. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying? You know, sometimes, I mean, could God have prevented some of these people from getting knocked down in the Bible? Could God have stopped all that? Sure, he could have. He could have stopped all that. He could have stopped all that with Job. He could have stopped all that with Daniel. He could have stopped all that. All that stuff, okay? But he chose not to. Because there's something good for us in the process of getting knocked down. But we can't stop there. You complete the process God intends by getting back up. There's going to be, you're going to get knocked down, but there is a reason to rise every time. All right? A reason to rise every time. The wise man learns to get back up when he's been knocked down. Look at, I should have had you turn back to Acts. Let me give you one New Testament illustration. John Mark, Acts chapter 12. You know the story of John Mark? I love the story of John Mark. He's an obscure man in the Bible, okay? In the New Testament. Acts chapter 12. And we won't have time to read every scripture on Mark. I don't want to take the time to do that. But you look at verses, this is when Peter is in prison, okay? When he had considered, and the angels come, and the church is in prayer for Peter, and the angels come and get him out of prison, right? And so now he's out. And when he had considered the thing, this is Peter. He gets out of prison, and he goes, wow, I'm out of prison, okay? He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Okay? This is the first time he's mentioned. You can read down through verse number 25 about John Mark. Look at verse number 25, in fact. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Okay? So Peter got out of jail. The first place he went was to John Mark's, aunt's house, right? Okay? So he's fully influenced. He's fully affected by all the Christianity that's in Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas come to Jerusalem. They hear about John Mark, and they like his. They like his desire. They like his example. So they take him as part of their missionary team. They take him to Antioch, okay? Chapter 13, verse number 5, you're right there. And when they were at Salamis, now Paul and Barnabas have been sent out by the church at Antioch as missionaries. They preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. That's John Mark. Okay, they meet John Mark in Jerusalem. They bring him to Antioch. They're sent out by Antioch. Now they're in Salamis. John is with them on this missionary journey. Look down at verse number 6 through verse 13, they have trouble. Look at verse 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, and they had trouble in Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. So we know he does. He goes home. He leaves the trip. And it wasn't for a good reason. Because look at Acts chapter 15. Look at the very end of Acts chapter 15. Paul and Barnabas are about to go out on their second missionary journey. Verse 37. Okay? Look at verse 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. So Barnabas says, hey, Paul, let's get old John Mark to go with us again. But Paul thought not good to take him with them who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Paul said, Barnabas, we don't need to take John. He quit. He quit on us. Look at verse 39. And the contention was so sharp between them, between Paul and Barnabas, that they departed asunder one from the other. Barnabas said, we're taking John. Paul said, no, we're not. Barnabas said, yes, we are. And Paul said, no, we're not. Barnabas said, if he doesn't go, I don't go. Paul said, fine. Fine. I'm out of here. I'll get Silas. These men were buddies. Do you understand? Barnabas was the one who went and got Saul when he was first saved and mentored him and tutored him and brought him to the disciples who were all scared of him because of his previous activity and said, let's give this guy a chance. And Paul and Barnabas were thick. Okay? Now they are split over John Mark. So I don't know what happened to John on that first missionary journey, but John got knocked down. Okay? He quit. He left. He left the work. Went back to Jerusalem. Left such a bad taste in Paul's mouth. He said, never again. Okay? Now let's fast forward some years to the 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse number 11. Paul now is the old gray-haired missionary. And Paul is at the end. Paul is about done. In fact, God has already shown him that he's going to be going to heaven. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 4, he's talking to Timothy, and he says in verse number 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Timothy, come to see me, man. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, so forth and so on. Look at verse number 11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Whoa, what, Paul? This is the man that you parted company with Barnabas over years earlier, and you said, if he goes, I'm not going. And now you're saying, hey, get that guy and bring him, because he's profitable. What does that tell us, folks? Well, you know what? I don't know what happened that knocked him down. Neither do you. We speculate. We're not told. I don't know how he got back up. I don't know. I don't know what he did to get back up. He got back up. And that's if you're gonna leave this world and cross into heaven, serving God, it's going to be that way for you and me. We're gonna have to get up when we get knocked down. Once you get knocked down, you don't have to be knocked down. Now there's a difference. Everybody gets knocked down, some stay down. And others don't. They get back down. That's exactly what living life wisely is. The just man gets knocked down. He falls. But he completes the process by getting a gun. I guarantee you, folks, it's good for us. The adversity is good for us. Getting knocked down is good for us. One of the reasons it's good for us is the process we have to go through to get back up. It builds us. Okay? Things in life that we don't like are the things that God has designed to make us strong. So the wise man, living life wisely, learns to get back up when he's been knocked down. Okay? I fully intend to always give two lessons. And I usually get one in. Maybe I'll intend to give three next week. Maybe we'll get two in so we can move along. All right. God bless you. See you downstairs.